Yo, this is John Spider Sally, four-time NBA champion, and you are listening to Steiny and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Warriors season opener tonight. Portland at the Moda Center. Steph Curry's 16th season in the NBA. What's he got in store for us this year, ladies and gentlemen? 888-957-9570 is the number. And with the Warriors season starting, we thought it'd be a good idea to talk generally about this team and where they're at. And so Evan and I have come up with what we feel like are the five biggest questions that each of us have about the Golden State Warriors this season. And as always, the number is 888-957-9570. What's your biggest question about the Warriors this year? Well, Evan, start us off.
I think that the one that matters the most is probably 30, but that's not my biggest question for the Warriors this season.
All right.
My biggest question is, how does Jonathan Kuminga handle his first contract year? And I cannot imagine him not feeling some type of way about seeing every single other rookie contract eligible player, including one on his own team, Moses Moody, getting paid or coming to a deal with their respective teams, and him being a group with Josh Giddey, who was traded from his own team to the Chicago Bulls. Those are the two eligible players that did not receive a contract. And it sounds like it's because he and the Warriors were not close. There was a number. They couldn't get there, whatever it may be. But my biggest question is how he handles what players typically have to go through about 4 years from now. And he has to do it at a very infant time in his career.
I think that's an absolutely fair question. And I don't want to say, boy, Kuminga didn't get a contract extension. That's not good. But I will say Kuminga didn't get a contract extension. Let's monitor that situation a little bit, because it is a lot to ask of a young player to go out and play. Yeah, it's so hard to go out and play for $7.6 million. But the point remains the same, is that you're right. I mean, virtually everybody in his class got an extension. And you can't tell me that he's been here 4 years now and not getting an extension is nothing to see here. No, there's something to see here. It could turn good, but it's a 50-50 type of thing with Jonathan Kuminga. The reports say that the Warriors were willing to offer him about 30 per year, but he wanted more than that. They didn't come to an agreement. Moody did, and now Jonathan Kuminga heads into this season knowing that how he plays this year is going to go a long way toward determining what he gets paid. And we all know that sometimes that affects a player.
Well, and the other reason why it's the biggest question that I have is because, in my opinion, the things that have derailed the last two seasons were egos and agendas. And the reason why I think Kerr, in the previous segment, was talking about how light this team felt, and the reason why I think that they, as a whole, the Golden State Warriors look refreshed, they feel different. You said a clean slate. I think that's accurate. It's because there's no questions heading into this season outside of Jonathan Kuminga's contract, because Curry extended this offseason. Draymond Green is under lock and key. They chose to not make a deal this offseason. They chose to go out and move Clay and then bring in bring in Melton Anderson along with Hield. So they've restructured their roster, but their franchise doesn't have any looming questions. They don't have a looming Klay Thompson question. They don't have the punch and the question of what are they going to do with Draymond and Poole. There are a lot of things that each of the past 2 years they've entered the season with, and that doesn't apply to this year outside of Kuminga's non-contract.
Right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors opener tonight at Portland. What are your biggest questions about this team, or your one big one? I'll go with mine, and then we'll take a couple calls and splice them in here. I'm going to take the obvious one here because I just think it's really the most important thing. And here's what I have. Can Steph Curry continue to play at a comparable level that he's been playing at the last couple of years? And that's, to me, really the biggest issue. If Steph Curry can be Steph Curry or 90% of what he's always been, then I do think this team's got some action and this team could win more games than a lot of people think. But if Steph starts to noticeably slip a little bit and his numbers are down a little bit and we're finding that he's so much of a focus by the team's defense that they're playing, I think we'll be able to see whether or not the other guys are stepping up, depending on what it looks like for Steph Curry and how hard it is for him to generate his offense for himself and others. But, I mean, the guy is unbelievable at 36 years old. At some point, you got to believe he's going to take a dip where we're going to look at each other in the eyes and say, you know what, he slipped a little bit. The question will be, does he slip enough so that you can't make up for the 10 to 15% that you lose in his greatness?
So when we were coming up with these questions, that was the first place my mind went. But then I did, I don't know, a little digging because but you can make the case that he slipped at the end of last year. I mean, he, for his own standard, did not shoot the ball very well after the All-Star break. But, and maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid, Steiny, but seeing what he did in the Olympics in those last two games in the biggest moment, overall, he didn't have the greatest Olympics, but he was the best player when they needed him to be. And that fortified my hope that he can remain at that level. Also, I'm just looking around players at his age, at his position. I don't want to use the LeBron thing because to me that's unfair. He's a freak of nature. But Chris Paul at age 36 played 70 games playing 33 minutes a night. He was an all-star. Mike Conley last year was age 36. He played in 76 games, started 76 games playing 30 minutes a night. Even someone like Kyle Lowry played 60 games playing 32 minutes a night at age 36. Thank you. Well, now, I'm kind of always been big booty Judy. And I just think that Curry, even based on the players at his position, at his age, there's enough evidence to show that he can do it. And that's not even taking into account the own commitment that he has to his body. So it is a big concern. It's probably the thing that will swing the season, his stamina or his health. But I guess for that reason, it's not my biggest question.
Gotcha. And this from the Comcast Business text line. Steiny, did you see Steph in the Olympics? I don't see him. I don't think we'll see him slipping too much this year. No, but the one thing I think we may have gotten a little insight to in the Olympics, and maybe we should take it into this year, is, you know, at Steph Curry's age, there are still going to be great moments. There just are. He's too great a player. He's too great a shooter. But what if they're a little bit fewer and farther between? That's something that the Golden State Warriors are going to have to deal with. I think it's just natural when a player gets to be as old as Steph Curry, you have more games where you're just not quite the guy who's 13 for 21 for 33 points on efficient shooting. You've got to expect that Steph might have lesser great games and a few more games where he's ordinary, at least by his standards. So what can you do in those games when Steph Curry might not be able to carry you? Because it's unfair to expect him to carry you like he did 5 or 10 years ago. So that to me is a big, big part of this. And then the second part of it, of course, with Steph is, you know, is he still the player who draws so much attention so as to make it easier for his teammates? Because I still think he's that kind of player because you have to account for him. And so if his play slips, if his play slips a little bit, does he still remain enough of Steph Curry that he's got to get the same attention that he's always gotten?
Yeah, and I think Kerr talking about, now they've always had somewhat of a, kind of a pseudo minutes limit for him. You know, they want to keep him around 32. I think last year was like 33. And to be fair, they did. I think he averaged 32.7 minutes per game. So they did a pretty good job at limiting him in the second half of the season. But he played a lot through the first 40, 50 games of last year, and he was really good. But I think that did take a toll on him. So I think it's fair to also ask, you know, how is it a slip? Is it a dip? Or is it Kerr trying to, along with Curry, conserve his energy? Because if he burns himself out trying to get them off to a hot start, or trying to account for the fact that they might be missing a player, or account for an injury that happens, well, then the season can go off the rails.
Yeah, I agree with that. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors tonight versus the Portland Trail Blazers at the Moda Center. And the Golden State Warriors enter a season where everything's changed. It feels like the expectations have changed. It feels like the roster has changed. It feels like their attitude and approach may have changed a little bit. Let's go out to Bud in Oakland. Wants to talk about the Golden State Warriors. How you doing, Bud?
Hey, Sonny.
Hey,
listen,
hey.
How y'all doing this morning, man? Hey, listen.
Doing
right?
Well.
So just before I get to my point, real quick.
Yep.
Sonny, I kind of feel like your assessment of what you're comparing this Warriors season as, you know, what you think it could be, yep, or better yet, your of Steph Curry, of what you're saying of what could he give. I think you're kind of looking at this team, or maybe not, but it kind of sounds like it's almost in the comparison to that championship team when we lost to Toronto.
Okay.
You said, can Steph Curry, you know, be enough to make teams, you know, can he make teams focus on his other teammates as well? Can he do enough? And, you know, with that season, when KD and Klay went down, that was a young roster. We didn't have nobody else to spread around. It was just Draymond and Curry on the floor, and a bunch of young guys just standing around. So what did the defense do? What they did, the Bison won. This year, this team is different. We have some other guys that they brought in to battle that, as if it did come down to that. I see that. I think that these guys can get up and down the floor. They can shoot. They can space. We have a better roster than that 2019 roster. But my assumption for this year, or my guess, I want to say my biggest question is can Andrew Wiggins become an all-star again? Can Andrew Wiggins give you what's missing? We know what the other guys make and bring, but right now we're looking at Andrew Wiggins as the number two. And my biggest prediction, you can lock this in, Steph Curry will give us the MVP season. Steph Curry will win MVP, Sonny.
Wow.
You lock that in right there. Thanks for taking the call.
All right, bud. The one thing I will say is, you know, the only way Steph's going to win the MVP is if they win 50 games. That's the first step to the MVP.
At least.
Is you got to have a good year. The team has to have a good year. But you give me 50 wins, and I know that's not an automatic by any stretch, but that's when we can start talking about Steph as being the MVP or not. All right, what do you got for number two?
Number two, I want to know how many threes this team can actually get up. No, I'm serious.
Number two.
Now, part of it is watching what we watched on NBA opening night, and what I believe to just be where the NBA is going. The Boston Celtics took 61 threes in a game last night, which meant that the New York Knicks, who shot 55%, lost by 30. Where am I going with this? The Warriors have a brand new ideology on offense. Terry Stotts was brought in to help reshape the offense. Steve Kerr talked about wanting to kind of play the copycat game with either OKC or Boston. It's a copycat league. I think this team is going to shoot a whole hell of a lot of threes, but I wonder how that's going to work when teams essentially know that all they're going to do is be jacking. I think they have maybe less great shooters as before, but they have a lot of volume shooters. They want, I don't know, your Buddy Hield to get six up a game.
Right.
Melton's a capable shooter. Pods is probably going to take more. Kuminga's taken a bunch in preseason. Kerr said that Wiggins has got to get six a game. Moody can shoot. There's a lot of guys on this team that can shoot threes, but how consistently can they make them at a high enough clip, along with Curry, of course, is in a league of his own. How often can they make enough to beat good teams? Because that was the one thing they could not do last year. They were able to beat the bottom feeders. They feasted on the Charlottes and the San Antonios and the Washingtons of the world, but they couldn't beat the top four seeds in the West. And if they are going to have a 50-win season. If they are going to be a team that challenges, well, then they have to beat some good teams this year, and I think the three-point ball is their avenue to do so. So I think my number two question is, how real is this three-point revolution they're trying to get themselves into?
Yeah, I think that's very fair, because there's a fine line between taking a lot of threes but taking a lot of good threes. And yeah, you're right. You look at the Boston Celtics last night, 29 for 61. The game's over. You make 29 out of 61 threes, you ain't losing. Plain and simple. So if the Warriors are going to shoot 45 to 50 threes a game, let's say, you know, a lot of it's going to, hey, are they making 10? Then they're in trouble. Are they making 15? Well, then they might be able to be competitive. If they're making 20, then they're in good shape, I think. So, but I agree. I think they have a lot of guys who can shoot the three. I'm fascinated to see how it all shakes out, how many attempts each guy gets, and then what each guy shoots from three-point range. You know, you're right. Can Wiggins go back from 37 or 38 like he did? He might have even been higher than that one year.
He was close to 40 a couple years ago.
Or is he going to be the 33? I mean, those are big. That's a big difference. That's a big gap. Let's go to Eric. Eric's in San Ramon. What's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
Hey, Steiny. How's it going?
Dynamite.
Excellent. I just wanted to chime in with regards to Curry. I think I'm in agreement with you. You've been saying for the last couple of years that he's not the same Curry as before. We saw him last season. He's 37 years.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Years old, he became a turnover machine. His defense went down the drain, and he became a very inconsistent shooter. I think it's unrealistic for us to expect a 37-year-old to carry the Warriors to any kind of winning record. I think if most Warriors fans are realistic, a 38-win season with Draymond healthy, Curry healthy, and Wiggins playing well is realistic.
All right, so you're Eric's on the low side.
We are a 38-win team.
Where's that?
Was that from last year?
Nick in San Jose. Just wait till he starts calling in.
I was going to say, where's he
at? Where you at, Nick?
He's not a 49ers or a Giants guy. He's just a Warriors guy.
Okay. He's got the over or the under.
Was that for, he thinks this year's team's a 38-win team?
That was last year.
Oh.
Well, at one point they were.
46.
Well, I hate to agree with Steinmetz.
The over is what, 43 and a half? 44 and a half or something like that?
I thought I saw 43.5.
We're a 43-win team, dude.
Dude, 43 and a half.
Yeah, that's the number.
How many of these do we have?
I hate that number.
By the end of the season, we're going to have one from 35 up to 55. We're going to have enough drops to cover every single possible win total for the Warriors.
I know two guys who think this is like a 35 to 38 win team.
Well, Harry doesn't count.
Well, we got a guy in the office that doesn't think they're going to be very good either.
Oh, that's true.
They don't need to know who you are, but I'm just saying. Let's listen to Steve Kerr about the target they have for three-point shots in a game.
I never mention that to the team. I don't say how many. I just know that we want to generate a lot of good ones. That's the plan. You know, we want to play fast. We want to push the ball. We want to open threes in transition. You know, and I think we're well suited for that. We have more shooting depth on this team than any team we've had in a long time here. We've always been obviously a great three-point shooting team, but I think more top-heavy than anything with Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant. But with this team, I think we legitimately have, you know, seven, eight guys who are going to shoot threes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. Rhythm's got a lot to do with it. And that's the one issue, not issue, but it's one of my questions, and we'll get into it a little bit later, about, you know, who's going to end up playing on this team night to night? And is it going to be the same, or is it going to change? But, all right, Evan, my number two is, and it's the, I don't know if it's quite the elephant in the room, but.
Well, yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, it's Ken Jonathan Kuminga. Elevate his play after not getting a contract extension. I mean, that is a big part of this year, is to figure out exactly who Jonathan Kuminga is and what part of the future that he holds, if he does hold any part of the future. There's look, he's on his fourth year deal. They have his rights after the season as a restricted free agent, and you know, the Warriors have control over him, but nobody will deny that he might be the guy you got to listen to if you get an opportunity to upgrade this roster, and he may have to be the guy who you sacrifice for this number two elusive player that we all think the Golden State Warriors need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another big reason they didn't give him the contract, or why there was such a wide gap, because right now he's more tradable than he'd be if he was making even $30 million, I think. There's a lot of people around the league. Like, it's funny, we're talking about the gap between what people believe the Warriors can win this season. It's probably about as wide as what people think Jonathan Kuminga's career is going to be. Whether he's going to be, I don't know, just a empty calories, 17-point-per-game score for a bad team, or whether he can be a legitimate superstar for a team that hopes to contend. There are people around basketball, and certainly people in the Warriors organization, that probably believe a little bit of both and just aren't sure yet. So I think that's a great question. And it kind of, again, it falls under the line of how's he going to respond? Because our caller, I forget his name, I apologize, but was talking about, all right, the reemergence of Andrew Wiggins. Well, that impacts Jonathan Kuminga,
yep.
I think. For people who want someone like Moses Moody to play more, that might impact Kuminga's minutes. There are a lot of decisions, and I think as we get deeper into this conversation, you know, we'll flush them out a bit more. Just where is Steve Kerr with this roster? You know, who is he going to favor? Who's going to play? And is it going to be matchup based? Because the way that things are looking, Siney, I could see a completely different rotation from tonight to Wednesday from tonight to Friday to Sunday for the home opener. This is going to be a revolving door of Golden State Warriors, and I think they can win doing it, but not every night everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah, and that's on my list as a secondary issue, and it's what we've learned about Steve Kerr over the course of 10 seasons with the Golden State Warriors. He's now entering his 11th season, is, you know, when the chips are down and the decisions need to be made, he tends to lean toward the veteran players. And so when you tell me the Warriors have acquired Buddy Hield, De'Anthony Melton, and Kyle Anderson, and they still have Gary Payton, who I know Steve Kerr likes, then the question I have is, well, what does that mean for Moody, Pajemski, and Jonathan Kuminga? Because we know how sometimes the fans think or want Steve Kerr to go younger than he often does. But we will get back into the Golden State Warriors, who opened their season tonight right here on 95.7 The Game against the Portland Trailblazers. Coming up on the other side, we are switching gears, but boy, we're going to go faster. We're going faster. We got Reggie Jackson coming up at 11 o'clock. He is working on something super special for Sunday that we're going to tell you all about. Reggie Jackson coming up in 10 minutes. And what a perfect time with the World Series starting this weekend. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
I'm Bobber.